Welcome to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. If you would like to participate on today's program, call now, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
Go, Think Again, Think Again. Welcome to our topic discussion program, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Western New York, still fighting the war on poverty, now in our 55th year. Each week we talk to you about issues, events, and trends affecting you right here and right now in Buffalo and Western New York community, and in fact, connecting to communities all across the country. I'm your host, L. Nathan Hare, President and CEO of the Community Action Organization. Make us a part of your Saturday every Saturday at ESPN 1520 AM on your dial from 11 o'clock to 12 noon each week. Now, today's program, of course, is live, so you can call in. You can join our discussion. I hope that you will. Our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. And the presidential election took place on November 3rd. That's literally 60 days ago. And we still have Republican congressmen fighting. It's almost like the Civil War. You know, we haven't settled the Civil War yet, still, you know, doing the song of Dixie and so on. Well, we have a Civil War going on right now where Republicans are basically asserting that they don't have to respect the results of the election. They don't like who won, and only their candidate can win. That seems to be the core thesis of where these Republicans are coming from. Let me just quickly go to an article that was written by Devlin. Yep, I can hear you. Oh, yes. I forgot to tell you guys that we're kind of operating remotely. So I'm in one place, Matt and the intercom station are on Corporate Parkway. We had a bout with some people that came up with the COVID virus. So we have a lot of people that are in the quarantine protocol. So we're doing the program remotely. So if we have a couple little hiccups here and there, don't worry about it. We'll connect with you, and we'll get your questions answered and keep our conversation going. So this article written by Devlin Barrett was entitled "Judge Dismisses Gohmert Lawsuit Seeking to Stymie Biden Electoral College Count." And it really encapsulates the craziness that is going on right now. A judge named Jeremy Knodel, who was actually appointed by Donald Trump, has dismissed a long-shot lawsuit by Louis Gohmert, saying that Gohmert nor his fellow plaintiffs have a sufficient legal stake in the process to justify the lawsuit. Cronoto wrote that previous court cases make it clear that supposedly done to the largest legislature. I missed something there. Gohmert sought to assert prior to the fact that first a House of Representatives member and a House of Senate member will object under Section 15 of the Electoral Count Act, Gohmert sought to assert how each member of the House and Senate would vote on such objections, and three, how each state delegation in the House would potentially vote under the 12th Amendment of the Constitution. Essentially, Gohmert and his friends are trying to enjoin the Vice President of the United States from counting the certified electoral votes won in states lost by Donald Trump before an objection to the certified electoral college has even been raised. So essentially, like Donald Trump's pre-pardon, this is a pre-objection to something that has not even taken place yet. Gohmert claimed the vice president has the power to effectively pick the next president during the formal recording of electoral college votes by Congress this coming Wednesday, January 6th. Pence oversees that ceremony, and as president of the Senate, has the power, according to Gohmert, to declare Biden electors in a handful of key states invalid and instead recognize electors supporting Donald Trump. According to the suit, Pence may count electoral votes certified by a state's executive, or he can prefer a competing slate of duly qualified electors. Essentially, the Gohmert suit says that Pence can ignore all electors from a certain state. He says that is the power bestowed upon him by the Constitution. Gohmert and a number of Republicans in Arizona filed this suit, arguing that the 1887 law governs the electoral count, governing how Congress certifies presidential elections, is unconstitutional. They're arguing the Constitution gives the vice president discretion to determine which state's electors are valid for choosing the president. Now, while experts agree that the 19th century law is vague, it has never been challenged before. It's been accepted by officials of all parties for more than 130 years as establishing a process in which voters choose electors who then choose the president. In a Thursday night filing, a Justice Department lawyer wrote on Pence's behalf that the case is a walking legal contradiction because Gohmert has sued Vice President Pence, seeking to give Pence more power. If Gohmert and his allies want to make that claim, the Justice Department argued that they should sue Congress, not Pence. Lawyers for the House of Representatives also asked the judge to reject the Gohmert suit, arguing that it called for a radical departure from our constitutional procedures and consistent legislative practices and would authorize the vice president to literally ignore the will of the nation's voters. I don't want to go too much further on that, but I want to just highlight this one point. The core substance of Gohmert and these Republicans is that they have the power to not accept the electors elected in the elections of each individual state, that they could exchange or replace those electors by a panel of electors that they choose. If this were true, if that made sense, what would happen if you had the House of Representatives was in the hands of, say, the Democrats, and the Senate was in the hands of the Democrats, and a Republican was elected President of the United States? Could you... Hold on just one second. Sorry, I'm going to... That's one of the problems when you're using a land phone that somebody else is also using. But if you have the president of if the president were the newly elected president were a Republican, but the House and the Senate were in the hands of the Democrats, could they simply reject the duly elected president by replacing the Electoral College electors with a slate from their own party? Of course that couldn't occur, but that's exactly what is being proposed by these Republican senators. My question is, why would Americans vote to essentially elect two Republicans in Georgia that would give the balance of the power over the Senate to the Republican Party, knowing for certain that that's going to result in massive gridlock and that very little is going to get done in the ongoing election in the United States? So I just wanted to get that out there to get us started in this discussion, because this is the premise that this is the situation that we are faced with. We are either going to accept the results of our democracy, or we're going to accept essentially a paper coup being perpetrated by the Republican Party. Even though the Gohmert suit has been rejected, that doesn't stop them on Wednesday, January 6th, of having a Republican senator and a Republican congressman both objecting to the acceptance of the slate of electors and starting this process all of Discord all over again. So, Matt, why don't you help me out? How are we doing with any listeners that we need to connect to? Can I take that call right now? All right, great. Who was that? Was that Tony?
John in Lockport.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let me get you John in Lockport. John, how are you doing out there?
Nathan, you don't sound too good.
Yeah, it's been a rough week, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, while I got you on that thought, let me just say this to everybody out there. It may be true that only 5 out of every 100 people that get the coronavirus actually get sick. But I need for you to know that if you become one of the ones who get sick, it is not a good day for you. This is nothing to play with. If you can avoid this, do everything in your power to avoid this.
Right.
And we have a very safe and clean operation around. Everybody's in separate offices and so on, and people still get sick because you don't know where you are, where you might get this virus, you know, attached to you. So just want to make sure people get that out there, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Right. Pence already said he doesn't want to be put in that position that Gomer wanted to put him in. Hello?
He, of course he didn't want to be put in that position. If you're Mike Pence, you're the Vice President of the United States. Do you really want to go down in history as a facilitator of a coup in the United States? You had these electoral college votes have been certified in every state. You've had at least 36 states in which lawsuits were filed by Republicans claiming that there was voter fraud. In every single case, no voter fraud was found. Most recently in Georgia, they went through another process of certification, and they found not only were there was no fraud, in a couple of cases where somebody did do something wrong, it was a husband and a wife where the wife signed the envelope that the husband's ballot was placed in. That was not fraud. That was just a mistake. You had one or two of those incidences happen out of 5 million votes in the state of Georgia. This is absolute insanity, what is going on right now, and the country should not be being put through this.
Right. Well, you know that Trump's treason. We know he's treasonous. He's with his collusion with the Russians and Putin and everything. But he's not the only Republican president that practiced treason. Nixon had a backdoor meeting with Viet Cong in 1968. Johnson found out about it and told, there's a video recording with him, Johnson and everything, saying that it was treason, that it was treasonous.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Reagan did the same darn thing. Reagan went back door with the hostages in Iran and made a deal for them to not release the hostage until he became president.
Right.
And so, I mean, like, this seems like it's, the Republicans do this all the time. They don't care about being treasonous.
And that seems to be the case. I'm not saying that there's never been a Democrat who has attempted something seditious, but that behavior with the Democrats seems to have disappeared, you know, 60, 70 years ago. This is ongoing behavior that we supposedly have gotten better, become better than that.
Too, Reagan was worse than Trump. I mean, he did the that backdoor meeting with Iranians. He also backed Saddam Hussein's gassing of the Iranians and the Kurds. And he also, the Iran-Contra situation should have been something that impeached him, and it didn't. He was just as bad.
I mean, if you think about it, even if it was not treason, you know, the fact that you use the resources of the United States to facilitate drug transports from Colombia to the United States and use the sales to finance arms purchases where you were selling not just to one side, you're actually selling arms to both sides, arms to the Iranians and to the Iraqis in a war that the United States provoked between them. I mean, this behavior is so insidious, it's beyond belief. But, you know, we've gotten better, I think, you know, in terms of our understanding of, you know, what goes on in this world, our media ability to be able to report what's going on and to get people aware of what is taking place. You would think that we would be better than this by now, but apparently we're not. We're not much better off now than we were 50 or 60 years ago.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yep. Well, thanks, John. I appreciate you, man. You have a great new year. We'll be talking next week. Okay. Who we have next, Matt?
Let's take the break.
Okay. We're going to take our first break, and then we'll get back into our subject. You all stick with us.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
Sales are rising quickly, but without another lead baker, Dale's Bakery is going to feel the heat.
Hey, you're baking alone today. I have to handle this order for the restaurant down the street.
Cool, but who's going to handle the pastries?
He needs to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
This is Jesse's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
As a nurse, not making it to work was not an option. But driving through the snow with my wiper blades struggling, I just didn't feel safe. So I pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts, and before I knew it, an employee was offering to install the wiper blades on my car. I got to stay out of the snow for a moment, and I still made it to work on time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
Acquaintance be for the hangman.
So listen, real quickly before we grab Tony, I just wanted to mention that the Senate finally did override Donald Trump's veto of the National Defense Authorization Act, which is, if I'm not mistaken, the first override of a presidential veto in the Trump during the Trump administration. It's really it is so insidious that this was taking place because he vetoed the legislation not because he was substantively or opposed to the substance of the legislation. He vetoed it because it had some elements in it that he didn't like. The communications rule 230 that gave the internet company some protection from liability for information that they shared on their websites, things like that. We'll talk about that as we go along. But let me grab Tony real quick. I haven't talked to Tony in a few weeks. Tony, how you doing out there?
Well, sadly, my uncle in Altoona, Pennsylvania, got COVID, and of course, he was up in his 80s, and I had to go there for the funeral, and I stayed to help out. That's why what you said was very appropriate at the end of Donnie's call, that we are affected by COVID whether we get it or not in some way, shape, or form. It affects every American citizen, even Donald Trump.
Yep, even him.
And who, by the way, through the entire month of December, which was our worst COVID month yet, had never spoken about COVID in the entire month of December.
That's a really great point. Because other than claiming credit for the development of the vaccine, at one point even saying it should be called the Trump vaccine. Other than that, he hasn't said anything about the COVID-19 crisis at all. We're upwards of something closing in on 340,000 people dead already on this virus. And the president of the United States, we were taking 200, 250, 220,000 new infections a day. The president of the United States has had nothing to say about it. What does that say about him, and what does it say about his party, that they don't hold him to account for not showing some leadership on this?
Well, first of all, he has been the leader of the faction that said, to hell with America, and if it only affects me, I'll be interested in it.
Yeah.
He is what Pontius Pilate did when he put his fingers in the bowl and said, I'm not going to do anything with this.
Mm.
He is a Pontius Pilate of America.
Yep.
And by the way, Donnie, please go to Article 3 of the Constitution, Section 3. You'll learn that treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or adhering to their enemies or giving them aid and comfort. None of the people you mentioned in the last segment are bound to have any charge of treason for having a backdoor meeting with somebody. That's nonsense. Go look it up, Donnie. Remember, it's leveling war against the United States.
Right. So the issue isn't treason against the United States. The issue is people engaging in acts that are opposite of the interest of the U.S. government and the people of the United States, and that's what they really should be focusing on.
And the word then you use for that type of action is called impeachment.
Right.
It's no other than impeachment. By the way, Colonel Oliver North in the Iran-Contra went to jail for like 3 months and then was pardoned.
Yep.
For his complicit acts in sailing and bringing arms to those countries.
Yep.
You know that, right?
And then they put him on TV and made him a talk show host.
Absolutely. On the 30th of December, when I got home from Altoona, Pennsylvania, wow, wonderful metropolitan area, 30th of December, we had 3,428 deaths in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, on that date, our illustrious president was hitting his seventh golf outing at one of his courses. And by the way, he makes money every time he goes to one of those golf courses because the Secret Service has to pay a higher price for rooms and food and following this guy.
And then he gets to seduce all of these American people into thinking that he somehow is organizing a presidential campaign for 2024. He's taken in over $250 million over the past 35 days. He has no intention of using that money to mount a presidential campaign in 2024. He's going to use that money to pay off his own campaign debts and to prop up his businesses. That's what that money can be used for, because the rules are so loose that govern those funds.
Yeah. Well, remember, Donald Trump thought that President Xi of China was an outstanding human being, an outstanding partner. Remember that?
Yep.
Xi of China? Well, China put an agreement with the European Union together, and boy, did that burn Washington.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So let's put it this way. If you go and what you didn't perhaps understand about Boomer is he's the guy that said to Obama in a January State of the Union, you lied.
Was he the one that said
you lied?
Yeah,
you lied.
Was that Gomer or was that Wilson? I thought that was Joe Wilson.
Well, I forgot either one, but they both have the same thing to say.
Yep.
And one other thing, they could protest in the Senate or in the House. They both show those, because this simply is a ceremonial thing. It has nothing to do with the actual elections. That's why the judge dismissed the suit. But if they decide they want to challenge something, they have 1 hour to do it, and that's it.
Yeah, they get 2 hour debate, one hour for each party. You know, and so, but it's just going to be a grand show, you know, and make the country look stupid, right? All right. Okay, let me grab, yeah, thanks, Matt. Let's grab Paul in Buffalo. Paul, how you doing out there?
Doing okay.
Doing great. Good to hear from you.
It's good to be out. Hang on one second.
Are you okay with your phone? You seem like you're breaking up.
Yeah, I took it off speakerphone, and I'm hearing feedback too. I'm hearing my voice feedback.
Right. So if you put it back on speakerphone, would that make it better?
I don't know.
It would make
know.
It better. So you're.
I was
maybe,
hearing
maybe
it both ways.
You should call
ways,
back, Paul, and see if we can get your line connected a little more tightly. Okay, just call us right back, and we'll get you on. So as we're talking about this insanity that the country is going through, the National Defense Authorization Act was a $741 billion national security package. Okay, I think we have him again. Paul, how are you doing out there?
I hope we're doing better.
Much better. Yep.
I can still hear it, but I only got a couple quick things to say.
Sure.
Ali Belchi was covering for Rachel Maddow.
Okay.
And he played how Al Gore conducted himself. And, you know,
yes.
Can you imagine being in his position when he had a better case than Trump did?
Absolutely. If anybody could claim that they were being robbed, that they were being cheated of their opportunity for the presidency, Al Gore had every opportunity, had every reason to say that. But when it got down to a point where it was to hold the country hostage over 547 or so votes, he said that it would be better for the democracy for him to just let it go and move on than to take the country through any more a rancor over this thing. And that kind of character is what you really want in a president of the United States. If we had that kind of character in Donald Trump, we wouldn't be going through all of the stuff that we're going through right now.
We do have that kind of character with Joe Biden,
yes.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
I have a couple more things real quick.
Sure.
You know, last week after the explosion in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
you heard crickets from Donald Trump. If
Nothing.
It would have been a black or brown person, you know,
they'd be talking about
different.
Treason and civil war and, you know, race riots and the whole thing. You know, the Proud Boys would be stepping up and stepping back or whatever, whatever their instruction was. Yep.
And one
stand
more
back and stand
thing.
By. That was it.
One more thing, real quick. The governor of Florida is handling this, you know, situation horribly. You know, like basically first come, first serve.
Right. Right. So,
and
you know,
you
this
imagine,
is the situation that we. This is what causes so much angst and division in this country. You tell people that if you look at who is most affected by the infection of the virus itself, or who are the people that are most likely to suffer serious illness or mortality from the virus, it's clear that black and brown people are at the head of the line in terms of who gets it the most. Because they work in the positions that tend to be most exposed to the virus, and you tend to be people that are in lower income conditions, where your health, a primary health care network that's available for you as an individual is not very strong. So we already knew that. You would think that they would design their structure of who gets access to the virus. Or the vaccine first, around who tends most likely to get to contract the virus first. And we're doing the exact opposite.
Well,
and
there was
that's
no
just
plan,
going to
period.
Cause more and more rancor in this country.
There was not even a plan.
They don't even believe
you know,
in plans. Their plan was to put money out, take credit for a virus getting a vaccine getting created, and then put it all on the states. It's the state's responsibility to figure out how to get this stuff distributed to people. If the states could do this, they would be doing it. I mean, you're talking about people who, in every state, under siege from the virus as it is, and using up all of the available resources they have to defend the people in their states from the consequences of this virus. You would think that the federal government would want to become the central administration of how we get this vaccine into the arms of people so that it is happening in a consistent, coherent way that's predictable, that people can understand and see what's going on, and happening as rapidly as possible. But that's not what's being done, because that requires leadership. We don't have leadership. We don't even have a person who, I'm not even sure he's, to be honest with you, whether he's smart enough to understand what it takes in order to mount a vaccination campaign. I think that's the problem that we're facing.
Yeah, can you imagine being one of those senior citizens who waits for hours and hours only to find out that there's no vaccines for them to get?
Lord have mercy. I pray that we don't have anybody that finds himself in that circumstance, but that literally does seem to be the case. But here's the other problem with that. They promised, Donald Trump promised, he'd have 20 million vaccines, the doses. He would have those ready by the end of this year. But they've only got, or it was good, 20 million people were supposed to get vaccinated by the end of this year, the end of December. But in reality, we only had about 2.5 million people that got vaccinated by the end of the year. Excuse me. And as a consequence, we're falling further and further behind. The longer it takes to get these vaccines into people's arms, the more people are going to get sick and the more people are going to die from this virus. And Donald Trump doesn't have any consciousness about this. You would think that his administration would be marshaling all of Health and Human Services, all of the apparatuses around the country, to put a coherent plan together and then making sure that that plan is executed. So I appreciate your time here, Paul. Let me grab Ron in Chituaga. Ron, how are you doing out there? Excuse my voice.
Pretty good. Now, I missed the first part of the show. I might understand that you have got the virus.
Yes, I came down with the virus on the 20th, and we've had several people in our company that have come down with the virus. And it's kind of a weird thing because I don't have anybody who's in joint offices. Everybody's in separate offices. And yet we still had three people come down with this thing.
Wow. What am I going to say here? It's really, really too bad. Are you home? How are you feeling?
Oh, yeah, I'm home. And fortunately, I'm married. So my wife is taking good care of me. And I have a good primary care doctor. And other than talking, which seems to be the last thing coming back to me, you know, I don't have any other symptoms.
So that's good. So I just an hour before the program, I got word that a friend of mine from Ham Radio has got it. He's doing very poorly. He might not make it. So this is not good. So, yeah, for those people who happen to tune in here, yes, this is real. It's not an act. It's not fake. A lot of people are trying to tell me that. It's nuts. These people are crazy. You know what really was a shock to me? I've been in the local music business here for 40 years, and I don't know if you heard way back in April, this guy, Chuck Vicari, a.k.a. Big Wheelie, he got it and died. And about 6 months before then, he was doing the Elvis act. I don't think he was in that bad of shape physically, maybe just because of age. He was 72 and when he died. But, I mean, I didn't get the effect that he was ill or anything, you know, with compromised immune system or anything. So this stuff is nasty.
And people have to understand how serious this is. I mean, you can be lucky, you know, you can roll the dice 100 times and 95 times, you know, you don't get snake eyes.
Yeah,
but if you're the one who gets snake eyes, it's not a good day for you.
Yeah. Now, one thing, I've been hearing different things about this January 6th business here.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is it's pretty much a dead deal because even if you get objections in the House and Senate, they have to decertify the election first. In other words, it's not going to the House initially for one vote, one state. Both houses have to say, yeah, the election was invalid. And then it would go to the House. Well, that's not going to happen because the Democrats control the House. Am I correct? That's what I've been hearing.
That's my understanding. What it could do, it may not do this, but what it could do is tie everything up for several days, so just to make a public snit, you know, about it. Donald Trump seems to think, based on the law as presented by Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump seems to think that the vice president has the right to set aside the delegates that were elected to the Electoral College in every state. He has the right to set those delegates aside and appoint his own slate of delegates. Now, I don't see how that can possibly be read into the Electoral Count Act. I don't see anything in it that remotely suggests that that could be done.
But what could be done, you think it would have been done in 1876 with that terrible, if you know about the election of 1876, and it wasn't done then. If it wasn't done then, how could he think it would be done now? But
here's the logic
do that?
The logic to it is if you could get the House and the Senate if you get a senator and a congressman to object to the certified electoral college votes from a particular state, then you can send that to a debate in the House of Representatives, and that debate would take place where each party, in this case it'd be a Republican and Democratic party, would have 1 hour each, because you can only debate this for 2 hours. Once that debate was over, then they could vote. So Donald Trump's assertion is if you just do this state by state by state, you could have 50 two-hour debates taking place before this thing is completely done.
Well, who sets the rules for that in the House?
That's the murky thing about this, right? The rules are not that precise because I don't think when they created this Electoral Count Act, I don't think that they anticipated what we're talking about right now ever taking place.
So my understanding is that the House rules are set by the majority party.
Yes.
So if that's the case, then naturally they're not going to
knuckle
under
to
the Act idea of 50 hours of debate.
You wouldn't worry about that. But, you know, we've got a very small majority of Democrats in the House of Congress. So, you know, there's always a possibility that some kind of skunky stuff, you know, can go on. But that's what's occurring. It's really just Donald Trump trying to muddy the water as much as he possibly can, to do everything in his power to diminish Joe Biden, diminish any mandate that he has going forward, to keep him answering questions rather than solving problems of the country. And of course, Donald Trump is doing absolutely nothing.
Past there, he's done nothing
right on
the virus, nothing about the hacking, Russian hacking. It's said almost nothing about any of it.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you take care, and you get well soon. I hope to see you in the studio in a week or two and back on there on the regular situation there.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate you, and Happy New Year. All right. So let's take our last break, and we'll get back into our subject. So if you all stick with us, we will see you on the side of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Microban 24 protects against Staphylococcus aureus and Enterobacter aerogenes bacteria, but does not provide 24-hour protection against viruses. Every time you touch a surface, you leave behind bacteria. To keep surfaces sanitized all day, use Microban 24 sanitizing spray. Spray on hard surfaces to kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria initially, including the virus that causes COVID-19. Once dry, Microban 24 sanitizing spray is effective for 24 hours on bacteria when used as directed.
Leave your sister alone. You're ready to get back into yoga, so you order the essentials. A non-slip mat, yoga blocks to keep balance, and an exercise ball. And you use your Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping and up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member, which you put towards your most essential yoga gear. Noise-canceling headphones.
Welcome. Take a deep breath. Breathe.
Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
Welcome back to Think Again. And it's so interesting, we're talking about my Sharia Moore, you know, summer day. It's almost summer out here right now. I mean, we have melting snow. I'm feeling like we're close to Atlanta. We should be feeling pretty proud of ourselves here in the Western New York area. So Donald Trump, who's that? Oh, Kevin, there he is. Gotcha. Kevin, how you doing out there?
Yeah, Alnitan here. I hope that you get much better, my brother. You know, really. And one more thing, too. What you know about stylistics? You just played that in the last break here. Now, man, share me a more. Come on.
I know you're old school
hip-hop Who's a cop, rapper, gangbanger like you know about the stylistics, man?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that
can
was
you believe
nice.
I miss hip hop. You know, when hip hop came a long way after my time.
Okay.
And the rap stuff, you know, as I tell my wife all the time, I can't listen to music where I can't hear the words. So
right,
they
yeah,
talk
yeah,
so
yeah.
fast, I can't understand what they're saying, so I just stop listening. You know,
something like when Tony, something like when Tony hears me, he can't understand me. I understand. Hey, look, yeah, I just want to say, you know, I ain't going nowhere with this situation that you're talking about. If I may just do a little twist here.
Sure.
You know, Donald J. Trump, I am now convinced what the G in Donald J. Trump stands for. It's supposed to be John?
It's not.
Because you know why? Because after you pardon somebody like Chris Collins, guess what? Judas is more appropriate, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, Lord. Don't choke.
I
anyway,
would not have thought you were going
to
go there.
But it fits.
It fits.
Right? Judas, right? And anybody come and tell me anything? Let me tell you something. If you want to know why you lost the election, too, okay? I mean, look, I'm not going to open up old stuff here and repeat myself because I've set my piece as far as the election is concerned, the process. But I'll tell you something. When you didn't win back independence, and when, on top of that, while you have COVID, you're having all these gatherings, and, you know, Herman Cain gone right under you like everybody else trying to
yep.
throw the kids took up to you, right?
Yep.
When they asked me if I want to come and join them in some gathering the other day, I say, listen, you all kill Herman Cain with COVID. You're not going to kill this black man, okay? So I just want to let you know. But anyway, but as I said, you know, getting back to the issue here with the elections and thing, I don't want to open up something I've already given my piece on. But as far as I'm concerned, that's this situation here with the pardoning of Chris Collins. No wonder the American people have no confidence in our institutions, whether it's the electoral process, whether it's our law enforcement or whatever. Bad, bad, bad. And by the way, yeah, that relief package, that 5,000 pages, supposed to be stimulus
right.
to relieve the American people. I don't know what the millions they're sending to other countries that is in there has anything to do with stimulus in helping the American people. I'm sorry. But anyway,
well,
you guys,
it's a good observation, and I get your point. You know, and this was a Republican congressman who said this, so I'm kind of, you know, in your bailiwick. But what he asserted was that the stimulus package, the $2,000 per adult in every household, he said that basically you're giving money to people who were not necessarily people that had been impacted by the virus. In other words, if you're a person who was making $150,000 a year and, you know, the virus happens and you had to go and work from home or whatever, you're still making the same money you've been making. Your lifestyle, your ability to pay your bills and so on has not been challenged one iota. His assertion is, why would you give that person $2,000 the same as you would give somebody who's been out of work for 4 months, who was only making, you know, $13-$14 an hour in the first place? Exactly, right? So, oh, good. Let me grab that call. I didn't get the name, though. Let me get that call from Niagara Falls before we go. How are you doing out there?
Joe from Niagara Falls, buddy.
Joe, there you are. Right.
You know, I you're in my prayers because recently I was exposed to somebody with COVID-19.
Uh-huh.
I tested negative, but I have to quarantine now until the 7th of this month.
Yeah, and it ain't funny, is it?
No, this shit ain't funny at all, you know, and it's not a funny situation. But Kevin stole my thunder a little bit because I'm more embarrassed because what's going to happen is election is over and done with, all right? Trump can do what he wants. They
yep.
can fight all they want. I'm more embarrassed by our bipartisan people in Washington with this $908 billion stimulus package bill, giving money to countries, all right, that have nothing to do with us, giving the horse racing community business
couple billion dollars, the racetrack, the auto racing industry.
They stuck all these goodies in there in order to get votes.
To get, and that's absolutely right. Because you know what? I saw on TV the other day lines of cars in Texas waiting to get food. All right? And our Republican and Democratic leaders should be embarrassed.
Food. Think about all the people
countries
that don't have cars.
We're
and
giving
the
other countries millions and millions of dollars. Out of this relief bill. What relief is this? What relief does that have to do with the American public? And I wish the media would jump on this. Let's start exposing both the Republicans and the Democrats. And I'm a Democrat. Let's expose Nancy Pelosi and her people, and Mitch McConnell and his horse racing industry in Kentucky. And let's show why we're people are starving and can't pay their bills. And they're going to say, well, we're going to protect you from getting evicted. You know, it's an embarrassment, Nathan. It really is.
And think about it. You know, if you haven't paid your rent since March, that's like 8 or 9 months have gone by.
And you still got to pay it.
You still got to pay the bill. I mean, my issue was if you really felt that that was something, a problem that had to be solved to meet the absolute needs of people, then why wouldn't you allow the landlords to certify that this bill was owed to them and send
absolutely
the money to the landlord?
Because the landlord's got to suffer because he has to pay his bills. But yet, we're worried about
how many people do you know that own two or three other houses besides
absolutely
the houses they live in?
But yeah, we're worried about all these other foreign countries and making sure they're covered on our backs.
Yep.
And I wish the media would expose that. But, you know, it's a shame. This country is the way it is, and I'm almost embarrassed if you say I'm an American citizen at this point. We're a third world country right now.
Turn ourselves into that image.
That's the image we're portraying. Well, listen, you take care of yourself. I'll keep you in my prayers today, and you stay healthy and your family, and stay safe.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you so much. You do well yourself. I hope everything works out well for you as well. Thank you. All right. Was it Rick? Yeah. Oh, Chris. Sorry. Let me grab Chris. It's Chris, how you doing out there?
I'm doing well, thank you. Bless you with a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
I have a question about the flood in Georgia and all the controversy that's going on with that right now. What is your understanding of the explanation that was given to that, and is there anything to it, do you think?
With regard to the with the situation in Georgia,
the flooding during the election and the vote counting. It was my understanding that it wasn't affected in the area where the votes were counting, but now they're saying, you know, that there may not have been a flood or that there was some wrongdoing going on. What's with it?
My understanding is in that area of the country, you get flooding just like we get in the Cattaraugus Creek area. That goes on all the time. This didn't have anything to do with the integrity of the election. This is people just picking up on something that is a fact, that there was some flooding in Georgia, and then connecting that fact to their aspiration, which is to claim that there was something wrong with the conduct of the election as a result of the flooding. But the courts there have been through all of this, I mean, as recently as 5 days ago, and they certified over and over and over again that there was nothing wrong with the vote that was taking place in Georgia. This is people just making stuff up just to make trouble.
That's what I thought, but there's been so much controversy and back and forth and back and forth, and I thought this was settled a long time ago.
Yeah.
But people are still bringing these up and saying that there was some wrongdoing and that they just haven't discovered it yet, and I just don't see it.
So, Chris, think about the Donald Trump and his allies, what their real game plan is. What they're doing is they're just shouting out from the hills, you know, Donald Trump couldn't have lost Georgia. Georgia's a Republican state. He couldn't have lost Georgia. Something had to be wrong with the vote. And then he makes this charge over and over and over again through his surrogate. And then they say that it's on you to figure out what was wrong and for you to prove to yourself that something was wrong. He's not telling you, here's a bad thing that took place, you know, in terms of counting the vote, or here's a bad thing that took place denying somebody the ability to vote, you know, and so on. Not saying that at all. He's saying that I believe that Donald Trump won the election, and you proved to me that Donald Trump didn't win the election. Right. So let me grab Donnie in Middleport before we go out, before we leave the air. Donnie, how you doing out there?
Good, man. Good.
Okay.
Yeah, get well, man. Get well.
Yeah, I'm getting better. Just got to, you know, I talk for a living, so that part can take a little bit longer to heal.
As far as Trump is concerned, the Supreme Court told him what's what. I mean, even Kavanaugh told him, and he still won't listen.
Right, because they're not trying to listen. As long as they keep claiming and shouting that there was voter fraud, then they're basically saying there was voter fraud and you go and prove that there was voter fraud. That doesn't make any sense. That's like me saying that, you know, I think I lost some money. I need for you to go and prove that I lost the money that I think I lost. That doesn't make any sense. That's what's going on, you know, right now. All right, let me grab Other John real quick. Other John, how are you doing out there?
Pretty well, Nathan. Hope you get better.
Thank you. I'm on the mend.
Good. Hey, listen, with respect to Georgia, that was not a flood. There was a leaking water pipe.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so
a leaky water pipe. They turned that into a flood story.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Got people all over the country, you know, riled up about the votes were lost because of a flood. A flood of a leaky pipe. Okay.
But I just wanted to pass that along. That's my 2 cents for this week.
All right. Thanks, John. Right, I appreciate you. That was good to hear. Good to know. And so, you know, we've got more nonsense that's in front of us. It really just is incumbent upon all of us to be governed by our better angels. We already had an election. There was nothing wrong with the election that we had. This is going to be certified, a ceremonial receiving of the Electoral College votes from the various states. That's what happens every 4 years. The vice president convenes a joint session of Congress. They jointly then receive the announced Electoral College of votes for each state. That then is accepted by the joint session of Congress, and we move on. That's what's supposed to be occurring. The fact that we're not able to move on is just a reflection of the insidious misconduct that is being conducted, as it engaged in, by Trump and his forces. So I hope that you guys are having a really happy new year. This is going to be a tough one, but we're going to do great. Let's just stick with this and stick together, and we'll be all right. We'll see you next week here at Think Again. Think Again. Stand every boy, every girl, and a man. Before when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road you travel is stays all uphill. Let's work together. Come on, come on, let's work together. Oh, you know together we will stand. You've been listening to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. Be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for more Think Again.